Okay.
Let's roll this thing downhill.
Bam. All right, so we're going to power through here. Yeah, if you want to, if you could just be close. Yeah.
That was it, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so we are back on, and we are moving right along.
Respect.
Yeah, we are moving right along to the last several here. We have Jim Stouter. Is Jim going to appear?
Yes.
Just a moment.
Yeah.
Is now joining. Yes, Mr. Stouter, are you with us?
I am.
Where's you?
All right. Good afternoon. This is Nathan Sosa. I am chair of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. So this is the time for us to hear your matter. And how this is going to proceed is we're going to begin with a staff report. Our investigator is going to talk about her findings, and we may have some questions for her. We'll then go to you if you have anything you'd like to add, and then we may have some questions for you as well. And then from there, it's going to be deliberations amongst the commissioners themselves, and we will make a decision about your case. And what we're deciding today is whether or not to move to a full investigation. We're not deciding if there's been any sort of violation or anything. So that sounds good. We'll move forward, okay?
Okay,
thanks. All right. Thank you. Staff report, please.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, Investigator Susan Myers. Item 46 is a preliminary review report for Jim Stouter. At its meeting in February, the Commission opened this preliminary review on its own motion based on a news article published in the Corvallis Gazette Times. That article reported that a skidder the county had leased from Jim Stouter's son was involved in an accident that killed a county road worker. The information available in the preliminary review indicates that the county leased the skidder from Jackson Luck Equipment Rental, which itself leased it from Charlie Stouter. It appears that Jim Stouter may have asked Jackson Luck to rent the skidder from his son Charlie in order to have one available for the road job. The agreement between Jackson Luck and Charlie provided that the rent would be $3,000 per month and the skidder would be delivered by Charlie to the county public works. It appears in this case that Jim Stouter may have taken an action, made a decision to arrange for the county road division to lease the skidder from Charlie using the county's existing contract with Jackson Luck. He may have had an actual conflict of interest when making this decision or taking this action. He may also have used his official position to obtain a financial benefit for his son that would not have otherwise been available. The report that is in your meeting books recommends that an investigation be opened.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Myers. Any questions for staff? Not seeing any. All right, Mr. Stouter, this would be your opportunity to add anything you'd like to say.
The rental from the county to the Jackson Luck to rent the skidder was made by a different county employee. I don't know which one, because at that time I was no longer in that loop. So the final decision to rent the skidder from Jackson Luck wasn't my decision.
Okay.
And I guess that's what I'll say. I don't know what to say.
Okay.
Can I add?
Yes, Ms. Myers.
What I would say for the commissioners is the county did provide a fuller investigative file in this case, but again, it was not received until after the preliminary review deadline had passed. So we have that file, but it has not yet been reviewed.
Understood. Thank you. All right, Mr. Stouter, is there anything else you want to add before we move into deliberations?
I guess not.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, sir. We appreciate it. All right, well, with that then, amongst the commissioners, is there any discussion? All right, Seeing none, I would just say that in light of the information we received from Ms. Myers, that it looks like there's some additional paperwork that has come in since the deadline passed. My preference would be for her to have the opportunity to at least look at that and then come to us with a full report, and we can decide from there. Mr. Person.
I just wanted to be really clear for everybody that's on the line. After the 30 days is up, or after I have actually signed the preliminary review, we are precluded from actually looking at anything that comes in.
Right.
It's not that we couldn't find the time to look at it, but the law does not allow us to look at it unless you folks vote today to go forward for us to look at it. So I just want to be clear, especially for Mr. Stouter, for providing that, but it was after that time, and we just no longer, we don't have the legal ability to look at it unless you folks vote this to move into investigation.
Fair enough. Thank you. All right. So unless there's any further discussion, I'll entertain. Yes?
Well, I'm sorry, Chair Sosa. I was going to say that notwithstanding what Executive Director Burson just said, I want to compliment the staff on getting supplemental documents to us in a timely fashion. They do an excellent job of getting that to us before the meeting, and thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Chair?
Yes.
Chair Sosa, this is Commissioner Fiske, but I am sure that I am persuaded by your comment, but I would presume that further work by our staff will answer the question Mr. Stouter raised, which was, who was the individual that actually made the decision in question at this point? That won't get in the way for me of moving forward, because I am persuaded, as I said, Mr. Chair, by your comment about the need to review the information which we were precluded from reviewing with the end of the preliminary review period. So in that sense, I'll vote in favor of the motion to proceed.
Okay. Are you making a motion, Commissioner Fiskum?
I would so move that we move ahead with the staff recommendation as indicated in item number 49 on our agenda to investigate possible violations of ORS 244.040 sub 1 and 244.120 sub 1.
Very good. Thank you. And just to clarify, I believe that's item 46.
So, yes, sir.
46. Okay. Thank you so much. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Aye.
She's back. Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene? Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Mr. Stouter, thank you again for participating. We really do appreciate it, and our staff will be in touch with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is now exiting.
Okay.
He's not there.
He's
visual.
There he is. He's visual. He just has to unmute.
Yeah. Mr. Curtis, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. I'm trying to figure out. Oh, here we go.
Okay. There we are. Good afternoon, sir. We appreciate you joining us. My name is Nathan Sosa, and I'm the chair of the Ethics Commission. So how this is going to go, this is our time to hear your matter, and we are going to first get a report from our staff investigator, and then we may have some questions for her. After that, we're going to give you an opportunity to speak, and we might have some questions for you. And after that, the commissioners are going to deliberate, and we will arrive at a decision as to whether to proceed with a full investigation or not. This is not to determine whether there's been any sort of violation, but just whether to proceed with that investigation. Okay? right. Thank you. Staff
okay,
report.
Thank you.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, Susan Myers, Investigator. Item 47 is a preliminary review report for lobbyist Raymond Curtis. Mr. Curtis lives in Brooklyn and is employed as the State Policy Manager for Veterans Education Success, a nonprofit veterans organization that focuses on higher education and protecting the GI Bill. On February 21st of this year, we received a complaint filed by lobbyist Rocky Dallum, who alleged that Raymond Curtis had been lobbying in Oregon since 2019 without registering or filing quarterly reports. On the same day that the complaint was filed, Mr. Curtis did complete his lobbyist registration. Based on the information available in the preliminary review, it appears that Mr. Curtis began lobbying in Oregon on or before March 20, 2019. During the 2019 session, he lobbied for HB 2976 and in 2020 for SB 1544. Both bills were aimed at requiring the Higher Education Coordinating Commission and Department of Veterans Affairs to adopt minimum standards for licensing career schools that would be funded through the GI Bill. Mr. Curtis has been very cooperative during our preliminary review. He explained that he did not realize the need to register as a lobbyist until Mr. Dallum informed him of it. He has apologized for not being aware of the requirements, and in April, both he and Veterans Education Success did file their quarterly expenditure reports on time. With the report in your meeting books is a letter from Representative Wilde asking that the Commission issue a letter of education rather than a fine. Also in the materials that were forwarded to you earlier this week is a similar letter from Senator Frederick. Because it appears that Raymond Curtis lobbied in Oregon without registering or filing quarterly reports from early 2019 to early 2020, we are recommending that an investigation be opened.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Any questions for staff? All right, seeing none, Mr. Curtis, anything you'd like to add?
Not at this time. If there is a moment later where I'll be answering questions about some of the specific work that I did while I was there in 2019, 2020, or would now be the time to
Yeah, now would be the time. We may or may not have questions for you, so if you want to share anything, go ahead.
One of the things that I wanted to point out that I don't believe was in my initial letter, in my initial response, was the amount of time that I also spent doing non-lobbying work while I was in Salem. So I worked for a 501c3. We are limited to the amount of lobbying that we can do, and it counts mine. That was the reason, not the excuse for not knowing the regulations, but the reason why we were under the impression that registering as a company in Oregon was sufficient. A lot of the work that I did while I was in Oregon was with these specific bills, but also with elevating veterans' voices, helping facilitate veterans to come in and speak about issues that are directly related to what is important to them. It's a big part of the work that I do is assisting student veterans in getting their voice heard and talking about issues that are important to them as student veterans. So that portion was not wasn't related to lobbying at all.
Okay, thank you. Do any commissioners have any questions for Mr. Curtis? All right. Not seeing. Yes, Commissioner O'Day.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Take a minute to unmute there. So, Mr. Curtis, just one quick question. It's a small matter. I'm not sure if it matters much, but I was confused in your letter dated April 7th. You indicated that in February 2020, you immediately submitted your resignation. Can you clarify what you did resign from? Yeah, go ahead.
I apologize. That is supposed to be registration.
It's registration.
Yeah, it's registration.
Sure, yeah, thank you. Appreciate that clarification.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Curtis? Seeing none, let's move to deliberations. Any commissioners want to speak about this matter?
Chair Sosa, this is Commissioner Fiscom. If you can hear me,
yes.
I think I'm not muted.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. As a former lobbyist, some of you know that I was one. We've been retired for a few years now. The unfortunate, or maybe it's the reality in Oregon, is that ignorance is no excuse when it comes to lobby registration. I understand the information from Mr. Curtis, and I appreciate his candor in what he wrote, and as well as what he said today. While I'm not sure that we would get much more information than we now have by opening an investigation, I believe that is the called for step. With that, I will move that we accept the staff recommendation on item 47, dealing with possible violations of ORS 171.740. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion on the motion? Yes, Commissioner, looks like O'Day first, and then Commissioner Keene.
Great, thank you. appreciate it, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Ms. Curtis, for correcting my misreading of your letter. So that was a very helpful clarification. So I support the motion, but would really encourage that as we open this case and move forward, that letter of education seems to be the appropriate response here. As we've said many times, due to our statutory limitations, there's only so much we can do at this point in the proceeding. And although it'd be nice to be able to dispose of it a little bit sooner and easier, as you said, Mr. Fiskum, there really isn't going to be much more to be learned here. I think the full record is in front of us, and I think a letter of education to me seems to be the appropriate response. But because that option is not available to us right now on the table, I support your motion, but wanted to kind of note my thinking as to where I think this case should go. Thank you for the opportunity to do so.
Thank you. Commissioner Keene.
Thank you. I just want to clarify, I agree with what's been said, and I really thank our, the respondent for coming and being so forthright. Is there a way, since we have all of the evidence in front of us, is there a way that we could make a finding right now of a technical violation and decide to issue a letter of education right now? Because I think we probably all agree that that would certainly be what I would be in favor of. I very much understand this. I think Mr. Curtis has already educated himself, but sending a letter of education, would be, and finding of a technical violation, since Mr. Curtis has basically admitted as such, I'm wondering if we can do that at this stage, or must we open an investigation and close it immediately?
On that
next time.
Yeah, looks like Director Burson's saying we would have to move forward with the full investigation.
We just have to open the investigation.
We would have to open it, yeah.
For us to do that.
Okay, yeah, we would need to move forward with an investigation.
And we'll do that right away.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Mr. Curtis, I just want to say thank you for your forthrightness and for your work. And I hope that this investigation does not dissuade you from continuing your work.
Thank you.
All right, any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, this is Commissioner Fiskum. I would concur with Commissioners Keene and O'Day, only to say that I wish we had the opportunity that Commissioner Keene reflected in her comments. And if we don't, that may be a legislative concept we ought to consider that gives us at least that kind of ability.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Right, roll call vote on the motion to proceed with full investigation.
Commissioner O'Day.
Aye. Sorry, I'm not sure if that registered.
Yes.
Yep.
Commissioner Sartoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr. Commissioner Starr?
please, Commissioner? Okay. Oh, here we go.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right.
I'm now hooked up again.
All right. All right.
Commissioner Starr.
Bye.
Thank you.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Mr. Curtis, we really do appreciate you participating, and one of our staff members will be in touch with you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
The next item does not have any participants.
I'm amazed.
That's not the case.
AJ's case.
No. 49?
We're on 48.
Oh,
didn't have it in the list.
Okay.
Yes.
In regards to item 48, I serve on the city's bargaining team, which is affiliated with this item, so I am going to virtually step out of the room for this one.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Edwards. Appreciate it. All right. Item, we're good to go? Item 48?
Yes.
Okay. We've broken our streak of testifiers. Okay. Item 48, Anna Conwit.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, Investigator Susa Myers. Item 48 is a preliminary review report for Anna Conwit, the former director of the City of Portland Bureau of Human Resources. Portland City Attorney Fallon Niedrist filed a complaint on March 3rd, alleging that Anna Conwit may have used or attempted to use confidential information obtained by reason of her former position for both her personal financial benefit and that of the Portland Police Association, thus violating ORS 244.040 subsection 5. Ms. Conwit worked for the City of Portland for 26 years and was involved in labor negotiations, including those for the 2016 collective bargaining agreement with the Police Association. Ms. Conwit left the city in November of 2017. When the city began its negotiations for the 2020 CBA, it learned that the association had hired Ms. Conwit as a consultant. The city objected based on Ms. Conwit's knowledge of confidential information regarding the city's budgetary process, negotiating strategies, and other matters. While there is no doubt that Ms. Conwit may have been privy to confidential information, there is not a substantial objective basis to conclude that she used or attempted to use such information. Therefore, the report in your meeting books recommends that this matter be dismissed. Additionally, last week after the meeting books were sent to you, we received a letter from Fallon Niedrist, a copy of which was emailed to you, where she indicates the city would like to withdraw its complaint.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion on this? I'll entertain a motion.
I would accept the recommendation to dismiss this complaint.
Thank you, Commissioner Starr. So moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
That was my.
Commissioner Edwards abstains. Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Excuse me. 8-0 with one abstention.
Excellent. Okay. Next matter is item 49, AJ Kitt, and we can let Commissioner Edwards know she can return.
Can you text her or something?
Yes. I will let AJ Kitt in.
Yes.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Kitt, do we have you with us?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we sure can. All right. Good afternoon. I want to begin by saying thank you for your patience and hanging with us through this very long agenda that we've had, so we appreciate that. And I want to thank you for participating this morning. My name is Nathan Sosa. I'm chair of the Ethics Commission. And how this is going to proceed now is we're going to begin with a staff report, and we may have some questions for our investigator. We're then going to give you an opportunity to add anything you would like to say, and we might have some questions for you. And then after that, the commissioners are going to deliberate, and we're going to arrive at a decision today. And I just want to emphasize that the decision is going to be whether to move to a full investigation. We're not going to be making any sort of determination today as to whether there's been a violation. And we'll go from there, okay?
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much. Staff report.
Thank you, Chair Sosa, commissioners. Again, I'm Lisa Kristen, investigator with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, for the record. This is a matter of A.J. Kitch, case number 20-055-DLC. It's item 49 and in page, at page 291 of your meeting book. Mr. Kitt is a member of the Hood River County Planning Commission. Complaint filed by a representative of the organization Thrive Hood River alleged that Mr. Kitt had failed to properly disclose conflict of interest in considering an appeal of an extension of his building permit in his capacity as a member of the Hood River Planning Commission. Based on his relationship, prior business relationship, with the property owners as a realtor or leasing agent for the property. It appears there is cause to believe one or more violations of Oregon government ethics law may have occurred. The report is in your meeting book with a recommendation to move to an investigation on the issue of whether a potential conflict of interest exists in properly disclosed. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Ms. Kristen. Any questions for staff? Seeing none. Mr. Kitt, this is your opportunity to say anything you'd like to add for the record.
Okay. Well, thank you for the opportunity. I have communicated with Ms. Kristen a few times via email or the phone as well. And I appreciate your willingness to be available and discuss things. This is new to me. This is my first experience with this type of matter. I've never been accused of an ethics violation before. I was on the Hood River City Council for a number of years and also on the Hood River County Board of Property Tax Appeals, and certainly never experienced anything like this before, so it's my first experience. As I mentioned to Ms. Kristen a few times, after reflecting upon the situation and putting myself in the viewpoint of the public, I do see how I probably should have claimed or disclosed a potential conflict of interest. But I also would like to point out that, as I think is mentioned in the report, the Hood River County Planning Director's report and preparation materials for us prior to the meeting clearly directed us that we were going to be discussing and determining whether or not the director had discretion whether or not to grant the extension of the original application. And I think that information framed my context for considering whether or not there might have been a conflict of interest. I didn't at the time of the meeting feel that what we were going to be discussing and deciding on at the meeting was going to have any material effect on the extension of the application, or certainly wasn't going to have any effect on the value of the property or anything that I may potentially benefit from. So I just wanted to mention that because that was truly the framework of what I used to consider whether or not I had a potential conflict of interest going into that meeting.
Okay, Mr. Kitt, thank you. We appreciate that.
I guess the last thing I want to emphasize is economically from any business dealings with the applicant, I have had business dealings with some of the members of the applicant, two of the three, but not the entire entity. And as a real estate broker, especially in a small community, relationships, both business and personal, are quite intertwined amongst the community. As a planning commission, we hear matters related to property. And I think there's always a case or a chance that a property that comes before us may be a property that I maybe have a business involvement with in the future, or may have had in the past. And not that I'm trying to make excuses, but I guess it's been difficult to just directly. Excuse me, my phone's distracting me here. I don't know. As a real estate broker, it's we have to draw clear lines, I guess. And I asked the planning director about this when I had my orientation meeting with him before I began working on the planning commission. And his advice to me was, if my relationship isn't directly with the property related to the matter, then I shouldn't need to consider it a conflict of interest. That being correct or incorrect, those are the things that framed my context for considering a potential conflict of interest. And I guess the conclusion, just going back, I do acknowledge, after having time to reflect on this, that it would have been correct of me to acknowledge or disclose a potential conflict of interest prior to this meeting, under the circumstances, and having been given time to reflect on the perspective of the public in this case.
All right, Mr. Kidd, thank you. Thank you very much. We really do appreciate you participating. We really appreciate your comments. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Kidd? Okay. All right, seeing none, we'll move into deliberations. Does any commissioner have any comments or anything they'd like to discuss regarding this matter?
This is Commissioner Keene. First of all, I wanted to thank our investigator, Ms. Kristen, and also I really appreciate, Mr. Kidd, your frankness and your thoughtful attitude about, you know, now looking back in hindsight, how the public would view it. Really appreciate that. I think that this is a case that is one where, you know, I think because it was directly asked about the conflicts of interest, which I think is a great practice that your board does, I think it's one that warrants, the staff's recommendation, but I did want to acknowledge, and I think what will come of it is a letter of education. I just want to acknowledge and appreciate your forthrightness here today, Mr. Kidd.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner
Chair Sosa. This is Commissioner Fiskum. I won't speak more other than to say I echo Commissioner Keene's point of view on this and her words. This stands for me in many ways as another example of where I would like to have the ability to dispense with something more quickly than our current practice allows, to which I say so be it. Thanks to our investigator, thanks to Mr. Kidd, and let's move forward. Thank you.
Okay. All right, any other discussion? I'll entertain a motion.
I move the staff recommendation.
Okay, so moved by Commissioner Keene. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon.
All
Commissioner Sarkoon?
Oh, I abstain.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Mr. Kitt, thank you very much. And one of our staff members will be in touch with you.
Thank you.
This is
Commissioner Sorkin. I'm
sorry, I dropped off. I had to take a call.
But can someone, if it's appropriate, tell me what the vote was on item 45? I think I missed it.
9-0.
Yeah.
We'll
adopt.
It's 9-0 to move forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, it was 8-0. 8-0, I'm sorry.
She went to pass.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
I know the 322 is
Donnie.
So Donnie
and the attorney are waiting. The 6616 is the attorney.
Okay, good.
So I'll get them in and just a moment.
Two participants are now joining.
All right, good afternoon. Do we have Mr. Boyd on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Very good. And I understand we have an attorney as well.
Yes, my attorney, Andy Branson.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you both for being here. We appreciate it. And so how this is going to proceed now is we have a staff member who is going to discuss her findings. And we may have some questions for her. We'll then give each of you an opportunity to speak if you'd like to add anything. And then after that, the commissioners will deliberate, and we will decide whether to move forward with a full investigation or not. We're not going to be determining whether there's been a violation today, just whether to move forward with an investigation. All right?
Okay.
Good. Thank you. Staff report.
Chair Sosa, commissioners, she's a Myers investigator. Item 50 is a preliminary review report for Donnie Boyd, Klamath County Commissioner. The complaint in this case alleged that Mr. Boyd used his position on the County Commission to create a separate paid employment position as the Community Development Director, and that he served in that position and received a stipend of $25,000 per year. The complaint also alleged that he may have conducted business for his private employer, Pape Equipment, while on county time. The complainant, the former building division manager, stated that he was asked to sign a document authorizing $500 per week to be taken from his budget to pay a stipend to Donnie Boyd. During our preliminary review, we were unable to confirm that such a document exists. Mr. Boyd, through his attorney, denied the allegations. He provided us with payroll ledgers and W-2 forms that in conjunction with an examination of the county budget indicates he did not receive any additional payment from the county other than the stipend that is paid to all three commissioners. Based on the available information, it does not appear that Donnie Boyd was employed as the community development director or that he used his position to award himself a paid position or an additional stipend. The information available in the preliminary review is insufficient to establish a substantial objective basis upon which to open an investigation. Therefore, we are recommending dismissal.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Myers. Any questions for staff?
I have a couple.
Yes, Commissioner Keene.
Thank you. Thanks, Susan, for your work on this one. Is your recommendation to dismiss based upon the fact that because Mr. Boyd is an elected county commissioner and is not paid, that he does not have a prohibition against using his, say, his office or other county equipment to conduct work for his private business?
What?
Or is it that...
Go ahead, sorry.
He wasn't...
There was no allegation that he was using county equipment. It was that he was, according to the complainant would be in a truck with him and he or in his office, and Mr. Boyd would have to stop and take a phone call on his personal cell phone relating to his private employment. But because we don't have any information showing that he was an employee versus simply an elected official, I think it would be much more difficult to see an 040 violation for use of time because he's not an 8-to-5 employee.
Do you know if, maybe you can answer, Mr. Boyd can answer himself, do you receive health care or PERS benefits from the county?
I do not.
You're not on the health care of the county, or you didn't as a county commissioner? You didn't have access to the health care?
I had access, but my front.
Sorry, sir, you cut out. Mr. Boyd, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry, you cut out there. Go ahead, sir.
I didn't hear the question.
Health care.
Oh, I said I have access to health care through the county, but I use the health care provided to me by PAPA machinery, not the county.
And Ms. Myers, is there any? There's not any allegations regarding, and you don't think there's anything to pursue regarding the use of office equipment, county equipment, computers, that sort of thing.
There were no allegations regarding use of equipment. The manager of the department said that Mr. Boyd drives a PAPA truck. And it appears from the budgetary documents that he declined the county's cell phone allowance and instead uses a personal cell phone or a PAPA cell phone. In the absence of an allegation of use of specific resources, it didn't appear that further investigation was warranted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? All right, Mr. Boyd or Council, this is your opportunity to add anything you'd like.
We have nothing further at this point.
Thank you. All right, do commissioners have any questions for Mr. Boyd or his attorney? All right, seeing none, we'll move into deliberations. Does any commissioner want to discuss any points on this matter? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to dismiss.
Okay. Commissioner Mason has made a motion to dismiss. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiske?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Ms. Boyd, this matter has been dismissed. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for you guys. A learning experience. Have a great day.
Okay. Thank you. You as well.
People are now exiting.